I for it.
我们在天上的父。
Give us today
el pan nuestro de cada día.
我们日用的饮食
Our daily bread.
Danos lo hoy.
今日赐给我们
Give us our debts.
Perdónanos nuestros
pecados.
We should give our debts.
Bildiğimiz gibi sen de bizim
suçlarımızı bağışlayacağız.
Lead us not into temptation.
No nos metas en tentación.
Save us from the evil one.
Sino
es barnas at lucavava.
Jesus, por
tu
reino es el reino,
the power,
权柄
the angelic,
and the glory,
荣耀
是
的，全
心的嘛，
心灵的，
直到永
远。阿门。
Amen. Yeah, I thought, it's not nepotism, I promise. I did just put my son up there because he was the only child I had control of all week long to get the video. I would love to get all your children doing the Lord's Prayer. It is so precious, and I will keep looking at that for the rest of my life as a memorial to the beauty of seeing the next generation of our children and those who are spiritually our children repeating these very words that Jesus taught our forefathers, our spiritual forefathers, this prayer. I love the series that we're in the middle of, and I really love this time of year. I love the way I've seen the church take action in prayer this month. It's been powerful for me to see your involvement and to be together with you, joining in prayer for the things that are important to our Father in heaven, and that is that his kingdom, his children, and this world be blessed. And we're going to talk a little bit today about the ways in which we are a big and important part of that. Even though God can do it all without us, he chooses to involve each and every one of us in his mission. And that is the great celebratory truth that I want to bring to you today. As we look at the prayer, we think and have been talking this whole month about how God calls us to reset. And what a great way to start a year, resetting your life and focusing it on God. But the truth is, the world around us is looking to reset whether they know who God is or not. That's why the New Year's resolution is not just a Christian thing. That's why when you come up with these ideas and lesson plans, people are doing the same thing without God. And sometimes coming to a level of success. Because in self-discipline, there is some reward. But the truth is nothing is as good and lasting and effective as the reset that we all are promised through the teachings of Christ Jesus, through the power of his Spirit. And I want to give a little example. My daughter, when she was 10 years old, Zoe, loved to rollerblade. In fact, on her 9th birthday, we gave her a pair of rollerblades, and then the pandemic hit, and we couldn't go outside to rollerblade. And so the first thing that we did when the bans were lifted for leaving our apartment in Turkey was to go to the skate park. And she wasn't necessarily just an amazing, gifted, and graceful rollerblader because she had been inside the house. She had tried to rollerblade inside the house. We were very thankful to get her outside of the house to do that. And as we go to the skate park, we invite all our friends because finally we can be together again outside. And we're so excited. We go to this amazing skate park. In my life, I rollerbladed, but never on a half pipe. But my daughter was on a half pipe rollerblading, and I was just so proud. And then my younger son, Ezra, he had received a bicycle, but his bike, for some reason, ran a flat. So I took the bike across the street to get the bike repair guy to pump up the tire, fix the tire. And as I'm doing that, I hear from across the street people yelling, "Come back! Come back!" And I'm not understanding why. And I'm like, "You just sent me across the street to fix the bicycle. Why are you calling me back?" And finally, my oldest son, Isaac, runs across the street and says, "Zoe broke her arm." And I was like, "Oh no, Never have I had a child break their arm, but I have worked at camps where I have seen many broken arms. And it did not have the same effect on me as finding out that my daughter had a broken arm. So, leaving the bicycle, almost forgetting my son back at the bicycle shop repair place, I run back across a very busy street, get there, and her arm has a second elbow. If any of you have seen a broken arm, and I'm sorry, I know that some of you might not like to think about this. I certainly did not. But my daughter is saying it's broken, it will never be fixed. And of course, she's in shock, and she's not really feeling it, but the idea and the truth that it was out of place was very troublesome to her. And we said, don't worry, we're gonna immobilize it. Don't look at it, because I've seen kids at camp, when they saw their arm, they just right out every time. And I've seen parents who saw their children's arms do the same thing. But we got her in the car, went to the hospital. It was a Saturday, so we were not greeted by the full staff at the hospital. In fact, all there was the ER doctor and a few nurses in a very quiet hospital. We were the loudest and noisiest thing there. And as I'm paying, I can hear in the back the ER doctor resetting my daughter's arm. I was so thankful I did not have to be in there, but he is resetting it. And she cried out one cry, and I almost fainted. I dropped my credit card that I was about to pay for. I picked it back up, and I could not for the life of me remember what I was doing. And it took me a full 30 seconds to come back to and realize, oh yeah, I'm paying for this service. And she comes out with a new cast, and we're happy that maybe it's over. And we look at the cast, and after a few minutes of inspecting it, I look, it's hardened up, and it's not straight. It's not straight, and I think, that is not good news. I've never had a cast before. I've never had a child with a cast, but I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be straight. And the ER doctor comes out, and before we leave, says, you'll need to go to an orthopedic surgeon before the week is out. And so we go home, and my daughter and I are talking, and I said, I'm not sure that that is set to the proper standard of what a bone should be set. And that's the truth. The world, as we all try to reset brokenness, we have specialists and we have people who want to help. And unless we come to the Father, unless we find the Spirit's power in our lives, a lot of times we go around in casts that are wonky with our bones not properly reset. Jesus does not want that for his disciples. In fact, when he calls them, he says, not only am I going to teach you how to pray, but just before he does this in Matthew chapter 5, he says, you are a city on a hill. You are an example to the people around you of what a community should be. And when I look at Landmark, I rejoice because I know that that is our calling. We are called to be a city on a hill. We are called to be an example to the community we live in. And when we think about what God's mission is for us, we realize that it wants to extend far. The higher the hill, the further it is seen from a distance. And so we look for the standard of Jesus. But we also recognize that mission without God is like healing without a reset. If we get healed the wrong way and broken, we know that there will be a time of re-breaking. And that's what ended up having to happen for my daughter. We went into the orthopedic. He called us. He said, let's go downstairs. We're going to take an x-ray. They looked at it. They said, yep, you're right. What you thought was true. The brokenness is not properly reset. And he had to do a second time the thing that nearly made me fall to the ground the first time just hearing it. But this time, I had to be in the room. And three doctors pulled and repositioned the bone and held the cast until it got just the right form, so that now she has a perfectly healed arm, thanks to the power of God's healing that he has put in each of us, the ability to grow and regenerate bone tissue. Isn't that amazing that God works that way? And yet it can be painful, and for that reason, we sometimes shy away from it. We don't necessarily want to do that. Well, that is, in my mind, what as it is in heaven means. When we get to that point, he says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is for us a picture of the glorious and great plan of God for restoration for the world. And that's why Jesus, more than any other example, is always in the book of Matthew, 32 times, he says, this is how it is in the Basileo. This is the way it is in the kingdom of heaven. He says, 32 times, he gives an example for us of what it should look like. And each time, he brings us into an intimate picture of what God has planned for his community, for his people, for each of his children. So we all come to God with two great desires. We desire first and foremost to have ourselves reset and to receive salvation. We celebrate when we exit the waters of baptism. Just a few weeks ago, I was so overjoyed to see Oli come out of the water and just pump her fist. That is salvation. That is the joy. The thing that we're looking for is to come out and experience ourselves the beauty of what God has done for us. And maybe that's why you're here today. Maybe you're here because you haven't yet, there's some brokenness that hasn't been reset. There's something in your life not quite the way it is in heaven, and you want God to work on you. Or, and oftentimes these come hand in hand, it's not a brokenness in ourselves that drives us, but it's a brokenness in someone else. We want to have others reset. And when we come with that, we come with what I would consider the motivation for mission. We see something out there, and we say, my mission today, after experiencing my own personal salvation, is to carry that cast boldly to people and say, look, this has made my arm strong again. It will help you too. Our mission is to go and draw other people who have not yet experienced that healing into a great and saving relationship with Jesus Christ. One of my favorite preachers in all the world is Ramazan Arkon. He's actually been here for a Mission Sunday before. He's been here and preached from this pulpit, and I can hear him making all the improper grammatical errors that might happen in the English language as he preaches boldly in English. And every time I listen to him, I just pray and hope that I make as many grammatical errors in Turkish and am still received well by my Turkish brothers and sisters. And I know I do. But he is a great speaker. He is a great evangelist. And he was a great mentor to me for the many years that I was in Turkey, a dear friend and one who I continue to pray for regularly. But when he came to the church for the first time, he was looking for something to fix a problem. The problem was not a broken bone. It was not even salvation that he was looking for. He was looking for a bride. He didn't have a bride, and he had heard that the women at the church who were foreigners were beautiful and might be willing to marry him. I don't know if any of you gentlemen came to the church for the first time with that intent to find a bride, but that was his intent. And he came, and instead of finding a bride, he found salvation. The thing that he didn't know he was looking for, he found. And after he found salvation, he found mission. And he leads a missional church in Antalya, Turkey. He came and learned about this mission as he was a soldier. And in that time of being a soldier, and you can jump two slides forward if you can, you'll see him there. He stood guard for a long period of time. Any of you who have ever served in the military know, as you stand guard, initially they just teach you this so that you understand the discipline and importance of being alert. But over time, then they need you to actually guard places. And so he was out guarding one night, and he had been praying to the Lord because he had not yet fully trusted him. He had not been baptized, but he was thinking about all the things he had heard in the church. And the Lord spoke and reached out to him, and he had a moment of transformation in his heart where he began to believe the truth of Jesus, began to believe that the resetting that Jesus wanted to do in his life was worthwhile. And he came back after 18 months of mandatory military service to the church and put his faith in Jesus, was baptized, and became a great leader. And then God gave him that wife he was looking for. A lot of times that's the way it works. We put our trust in God. He sees that we trust him, and he knows then that we are ready to do the harder task, to actually stand guard, to actually look out in the same way that we train our children first to be responsible and then entrust them with things. That is what God does with us too. He is slowly resetting us to a great and perfect mission. Jesus, after he taught this great prayer that we are repeating week after week, he gets down to the end of chapter 6. He's still teaching on the fundamental teachings of what it is to be a Christian. And he talks about the fact that our prayers are often motivated out of worry and concern. And he says that there's this little secret that if you follow these two principles, that you will be able to understand fully how prayer works in your life. He says, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. So our mission in seeking, in coming, in finding salvation for ourselves and for others is that we seek first his kingdom for ourselves and his righteousness for ourselves, and then in mission we go and seek that for other people too. It's a beautiful picture. An involvement of co-labor that Jesus has involved his disciples in, and that his disciples, through their disciples, have involved each and every one of us in. This church is an active member in that mission. As we seek, we can frequently mistake our human endeavors, though, mission without God, for true mission. And so this is why we spent the first full month of this year praying, God, reveal to us the way in which you are working. Involve us in your mission so that we're not building a Tower of Babel, a tower that was human endeavor, but we are marching on to a tower that God has built on Mount Zion. The difference between Babel and Zion, the men who were building Babel said, let us build this for our own glory and for our own dominion. God comes down from heaven, it says in the scripture, and laughs at them and says, let us confuse their language so that they can't do it. And that's why we have all these flags today in front of us, because we have a lot of confused languages out there. And it's hard sometimes to get things right. In fact, I remember one time in Turkey, I was teaching an English class as a way to reach out to people. And some of my Turkish brothers, the youth group, were outside the room where I was teaching, and they were just raucously enjoying the evening in each other's company. And it was so loud that my students couldn't understand the English that I was speaking. And so I peeked my head out the door, and I tried to say, could you be any quieter? But I actually forgot and used the negative. I said, could you not be any quieter? And they all laughed, understood what I was trying to say, and quieted down. But a lot of times there's a frustration in communication that doesn't happen just in languages like that. It happens between husbands and wives in our homes. It happens between parents and their children. It happens between drivers and different cars. So many different instances in our life where communication leads to a brokenness because we do not speak the same love language that God speaks. And we come to mission with a desire for our own kingdom instead of his. And I love the way Buddy represented the fact that we are bringing down the kingdom of God to this earth through the work of the church. That is our desire, that we might meld what we are doing with the very picture that is set for us in heaven of a place and a community where all is right and all is good. And here are a few ways I'd love to share with you. I'll do it briefly, of ways in which we live on mission in this pilgrimage of life that we are on. We have done that in 2025 by supporting foster care for workers in Malawi. You see, Amai Kita, I was able to visit her a few years back. She continues with a team of 9 other women to foster 40 children in Malawi who are part of an ongoing love offering of this church from Mtendere Village in Malawi, which is in the heart of Africa. And I would love it if you could go and see the heart of these women as they disciple and discipline and love on children who have a great need for that in a very impoverished country. In the same time, in that same community, we also are involved in aiding medical workers who are helping mothers give birth to children. And I wish the picture was able to be up there. There's a beautiful picture of a delivery nurse holding a baby. But over 50 mothers have been able to receive, through the support of this church, help, life-giving, life-saving at times, medical aid for them in that vulnerable time of giving birth. And I know that there are many among us who've experienced life-giving through birth and know that there can be a great need for a guide and partner in that. And thankfully, by your generous giving last year, we were able to help provide that for many women in Malawi. We also have helped church ministers in Tanzania to disciple other church ministers. And in 2024, I was able to go and visit the churches that continue to serve. Tanzania has gone through a lot of upheaval this last year, and there has been a lot of political strife, not too different from the things we have heard and read in the news in our own countries. And so it is difficult for them at times to stand in the gap and be that example, but they are for the people of Tanzania, and they are training up young leaders to be that very same example. We also have been able to help agricultural teaching in Tanzania, which has provided food in an unstable time, teaching crop rotation, growing plants, helping. And you can see here Emma, who is a brother who has been doing this now, has learned from people like Kevin Linderman and his compatriots and other missionaries how to do this in a way that is responsible and that can be sustainable. In 2025, we also went and were able to continue to share Christ in Turkey, a Muslim country. Over 83 million people, 98.9% of whom are Muslim, are hearing the gospel, and the Lades, along with Ramazan Arkan and many other leaders, are able to proclaim the gospel there. We have also been able to pray for and send out new missionaries, ones who have been 2 years in Birmingham, England. You'll see in this next picture your children praying for the Widens before they go out. And it's just sweet and touched my heart to see your children praying for those who are commissioned to go by this church and do the Lord's work in big cities around the world. They have been working with refugees in the years past. They will be working again with refugees from Iran, where there's much war right now, in the city where they will be living. We traveled to Wuhan, China. We're able to do something in Wuhan. I can't mention their names right now because of the feed, but there's a couple and their two children who are serving in Wuhan, a place that we had gone to in the past and have been able to go back to for the first time in 2025 with our support. We are seeing house churches blessed in that city. We are also able to take our youth to go to Antigua to serve in a VBS and to bless children there. In all of those things, we know that God is doing great things, and not just there. The reason that we're able to go there is because this church is doing God's mission in Montgomery. And one of the ways that I get to see that every week is through Friends Speak. But there are great ministries like RSVP and The Shed and Heather's House. There's times when we go out as a church and serve the city. In all of these ways, you reflect the very thing that these missionaries who have gone to other countries are trying to reset in those places. So if you're dealing with homelessness here, you can be sure that they're dealing with the heart of God towards homelessness there. If you're dealing with a person who's trying to get free from the oppressive addictions of life, they are also doing that there. It is there as it is here. And that is God's beautiful plan for the perpetrating his kingdom throughout all the world and through all time, is that it would be there perpetually for all time. So now, in order to keep ourselves from human endeavor and to properly reset ourselves, we ask, how is it that I know that I have been reset according to God's will? And I think the most beautiful picture of that is when broken people share the good things that God has done for them to other broken people. And that is why our mission to lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus is about regrowing. It's about regrowing the connections. And I'm so excited that we have the opportunity and the desire to see that happen many more places. And as we question this, does my home conform to God's kingdom? And as we ask ourselves, does my activity depend on God's righteousness? I think it leads us back to the table. And now before we partake together in the restoration of our body, we have taken into ourselves the truth, the blood, and the body of Jesus Christ. We are going to remember at the table the way in which he is doing that. And I would like to introduce at the table to you today some guests that I have invited to come down from Tennessee. Ryan and Sarah, will you come up? Their son Luke is here with them right now, and their daughter Charlotte in the back. And they have been longtime missionaries and are currently ministering in a church up in Nashville. And I'm just so thankful that they're coming here to consider. Thank you very much, Jeremy. Why don't you all sit over here? I'll get the microphone for you. I'm going to hand it to you first, and then you can hand it back and forth. There, we've had the blessing of talking for the last 2 days about your work in Peru. And it's so exciting to know that God is working in that country. And while we didn't support that particular work, we're excited about the future potential for partnership, which we'll talk about in our class time. But I would love it if you would just share, Sarah, first, what it was. How did you hear God leading you into that mission?
Mm-hmm. For me, it was sort of like the sense of a ghost that just wouldn't leave me alone. I had gone on a short-term mission trip, which I really believe in for our young people. And on that trip, it's just like it lit a fire in me. And I thought, for some portion of my life, I want to do that, you know, for my work. And then God blessed me and connected me to a team. And it all kind of went from there.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So watch out. Your children, over 20 of them, are already signed up to go on a mission trip this summer. They might catch the fire, the calling of the Spirit into that place. I don't say watch out in a negative way, but I do want you to be forewarned that God is calling your children into his mission. Let's go ahead. Ryan, I'd like to hear a little bit about how your relationship grew a vision in you for the work that you then did so powerfully in Peru.
Yeah, it was kind of in. I think overall it was very much a God thing, because right as I was working as a financial advisor back in Nashville, and we were just getting connected, there was a moment where I found out that she had long-term plans that did not involve staying in the country that I was living in. And so it ended up being this situation where, as God grew our relationship together, it was almost like he was calling us to Peru at the very same time. And so we spent our first full year as a married couple on the mission team, and we have felt like we have lived on mission together as a couple ever since.
Yeah, and it's been really encouraging to hear you share of the work that you've all done together. I did want to draw our attention to the table, and so I asked you all if you had a story from your time in Peru that reflected well the fact that sometimes we speak different languages and come to the table with different expectations. Would you mind sharing your story with us? Sarah, I guess you'll be the one to bet you told it the first time.
Yeah, so I'll tell you about our friend Milagros. Her name in Spanish means miracle. And when I first met Milagros, she, as often happens, she came to our church because she was in deep need of community. She was hurting. She was a single mom with two sons, and her oldest son had special needs and was not able to walk independently or talk, and really had been rejected by her extended family. She was looking for a spiritual family. And so when she came to us, she came to know Christ, and then she was excited to serve. And the first thing she wanted to do was to help make the Lord's Supper. And if you've had homemade bread like we used to do back in the day, that's how our church in Cusco used to do it, homemade grape juice. And so she wanted to jump in and serve. So she brought her offering of love and service that morning, walks in the door. She's beaming. She's just radiant, so excited. She's been working on it early in the morning. And she comes to us, and I look at it, and I go, that fruit of the vine looks a little different. You know, that's what I'm thinking in my brain. I'm not saying it out loud. And then she says, "Sister, I have made the grape juice, but I have made it a different way." Mm-hmm. And she said, "So there's a purple corn drink in Peru. It's called chicha morada, and it kind of tastes like a spiced cider. So it's got purple corn that they boil, and it's got pineapple juice and clove and cinnamon. And she decided that this was very, you know, a delicious thing from the culture, and that she was going to make it. It wasn't the fruit of the vine, you know, it was the fruit of the stalk, I guess. but yeah, she brought that. And so that morning we had chicha morada, Lord's Supper, but I thought it was so beautiful that she made that from her heart, and she was willing to serve in those cultural moments where, you know, she gave her all that she had to give that morning. So.
And that's such a beautiful image. The shape may seem wrong, but that is a straight heart for God, a place where a person has dedicated their life, has found that salvation, and has wanted to serve in a mission that she was given to make the bread and bring the fruit of the vine to the Lord. And God understood it perfectly. And that's what I love about the mission field. It exposes you both to the brokenness of our world, the incorrect understanding sometimes, and then at the same time, the beautiful heart of God to understand our hearts, our desires, and to draw us to Him. Now, before we come to the table, before we're all drawn to that time, before our men and gentlemen and servants of this church bring us the Lord's Supper elements, I would like to ask Ryan, would you pray for us and bless this meal?
Do you want me to do this in Spanish?
If you would like to do it in Spanish with translation, you may. Okay. Go for it.
All right, let's pray. Padre amado, gracias por un día más de vida.
Loving Father, thank you for one more day of life.
Gracias por el hecho de que nos has adoptado como tus hijas y tus hijos.
Thank you for the fact that you've adopted us as sons and daughters.
Y en este momento, mientras que estemos alrededor de tu mesa.
And in this moment that we're surrounded by your table, Lord.
Te damos gracias por la salvación que nos has regalado.
We give you thanks for the salvation that you've gifted to us.
Ayúdanos a recordar en este momento.
Please help us to remember in this moment
el sacrificio de tu precioso hijo Jesús,
the sacrifice of your precious son Jesus,
su cuerpo que sufrió en la cruz,
his body that suffered on the cross,
y su sangre que se derramó de la cruz,
and his blood that spilled out on the cross.
Y por medio de esas dos cosas tenemos la redención de nuestros pecados.
Because of these things, we have forgiveness of our sins.
Ayúdanos a recordar la gracia y el amor que nos tienes.
Help us to remember the grace and love that you have for us, Lord.
Mientras que tomamos esos dos emblemas.
While we take these two emblems.
Y todo eso te pedimos en el nombre de Jesús. Amen.
All this we give you, asking in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you both. What a great thing to proclaim. Jesus Christ has overcome. He has not only overcome the cross, he has overcome the brokenness in us. And he has strengthened our hearts for the mission ahead. As we come now into a time of remembering the righteousness of God, Jesus Christ, and we are thankful for what we have just partaken of, we realize that our brothers and sisters all around the world, those who have believed before us and those who have believed after us, are thankful to God for his Son, Jesus Christ. And when we think of our gratitude, there's just a few things that we can do. One of them is to say, in my life, God, as in yours. That is what we do when we take his life into us, when we recognize that he died for us. We proclaim and make a promise when we are baptized to live as Christ, to live as if his life is our life, to be on earth as he is in heaven. So today, we participate in the glorious maturing, for we are still being set right. The world and us as a community are in the process of overcoming, as we just sang. And yet we know and hope expectantly with faith there will be a day when it will all happen. The way that we show that is the same way that the early churches did. In Ephesus, Paul reminded them, instead of seeking your own kingdom, speak the truth in love. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Today we invite you now to pray about how you might do the work that God has given you. He didn't just say, I am the light of the world. He said, you are the light of the world. And he called you to be that light in a way that is bright and good and pure. I'm going to hold up this card. This is our pledge card. Many of you came today ready with your offerings for this Mission Sunday, and I thank you for that. Many of you have a deep intent in your heart to give, but maybe the funds aren't there yet. Maybe your checkbook isn't at home. This pledge card is for both of you, those who came ready and those who didn't. If you look, turn it over and look at the back, it says 2026 Commitment to Missions, one card per family, please. So if your wife is there, as mine sometimes gets ambitious and wants to partake too, let her do it. And she can lead if you want, or let your husband do it, or your brother if you're living in the same house and sharing the budget. But please, one card per family will help us not get confused. Then please write your name and email. This is so that we can find you in On Realm. And then it says either. You can pick the lime green that says today I'm giving to missions, or the brown portion I plan to give to mission in 2026. Check then, please, one of these boxes on a one-time basis, weekly basis, or monthly basis, and please let us know when you intend to begin doing that. If you do that, you will help our accountant very much, and you will also help us know when we've reached our goal, which we believe God will help us reach our goal together. As Dan Burgess tells us almost every Sunday, we are here participating together in offerings so that we can do together what none of us could do on our own. And the truth is we offer it all to God first, because even together we can't accomplish what God does with a single word in creating goodness from our offerings. And then please, if you can do the math, or if you don't want to figure out the division, you can look at that little line at the bottom that says my total mission contribution in 2026 will be, and fill it out. There are several ways to give. You can give by phone. You can give online through On Realm. You can make a check payable to Landmark today, put missions in the memo line, or this is the first time we've involved a QR code. You can scan with your phone. It'll take you directly to giving there. Thank you for taking a moment to think about that. Our offering goal has been mentioned is $252,500 today that will help us do all the works that we showed on the screen today that we did in 2025 and more. We are seeking to do more because God's kingdom is ever advancing. It is not retreating. And that is our prayer locally, that this church will continue to grow and expand, and globally around the world, that we will be able to send out missionaries like Ryan and Sarah Davis, who are here today. It is our hope that we would be able to send out more impactful examples of Jesus around the world. But the truth is that is not what God is asking you for today. It's not what he asked me for. It's not what this church is asking for you. The truth is we want to figure out a way to transfer everything we are from this place on earth to heaven with God for all eternity. This is a small way that we set our hearts in that place. But the truth is our goal is all of me for all of eternity in heaven with God. And I thank you that you have a heart that exemplifies that in your homes, in your communities. And I see it every time we gather together to worship the Father here at Landmark Church. Let me pray. And then I would like to invite our mission vision team. In fact, why don't they go ahead and come forward to take the baskets. And I will invite those of you who have filled out the cards or have a check, who are willing to come forward, to come forward and pledge your offering to the Lord. And if you are not willing, if you're shy and forward is not where you want to be, you'd like to privately give, there are baskets at the back that you can leave your offerings. But we would love to see the commitment that this church has. So any pledge, no matter how large or small, welcome here. And I thank the MVT for coming down and being in position. This group of people prays regularly on a monthly basis, gathers to pray and know the vision of of God for this church, that it might be here as it is in heaven. Let us pray and ask then that God would reset our hearts. Father, thank you so much. I pray that you would bless this church as we seek your kingdom, as we ask that your will be done here as it is in heaven, Lord, as we desire for our communities to know the goodness that is your structure, your beauty, and your creation, your restoration of what is broken. I pray that we might reflect that desire properly through our giving today. I pray also that you would be glorified in the actions and the decisions of the leadership of this church and the servants of this church as we seek out your plan for the mission to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus. Lord, I ask for myself if there's any brokenness remaining that you heal my brokenness. And I invite all my brothers and sisters who are struggling with a feeling of burden and brokenness themselves today to seek the Lord, to come forward and be prayed for, and to Lord, to really offer up themselves as living sacrifices to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray your blessing on this. Amen.